Here's the weird thing. I think Mike Tomlin, even though he values quarterback mobility, almost gets scared more as a defensive mind by the guy he thinks can pick apart a coverage.
Well, they should heat him up because he can't move. And you only have one effective edge rusher on Sunday with TJ Watt. I would expect, or I would anticipate, Tomlin doing more, but maybe he won't because he's stubborn and he'll stick to his old ways. If he had Brian Flores as his defensive coordinator, they'd be coming up with all kinds of exotic and creative ways to get to Aiden O'Connell, and they would definitely win the game. Donnie feels much better about this because he's scarred from going to Indianapolis last year and watching Gardner Minshew hang 30 on the Steelers' heads.
But Shane Steichen,
215 and three touchdowns.
But that was with Shane Steichen, who we know just cooks Tomlin like a goose.
I hope Vegas just has a different, and I was there last year for the game, and it was one of the Steelers' best offensive games under Matt Canada and with Kenny Pickett as quarterback. I just hope that that set a precedent for Vegas being a much kinder place to the Steelers than Oakland, because if this game were in Oakland at 4:05 on Sunday,
automatic L.
Aiden O'Connell is the type of quarterback that over the years, the Steelers have lost to these complete jobbers when they've gone there. Your Andrew Walter, Terrell Pryor, sorry, Donnie, these guys that are not household name quarterbacks had a penchant on the road when the Steelers would go there of beating them. It didn't seem to matter who their quarterback, almost the worse the better when playing against the Steelers.
I just watched the Terrell Pryor highlight last night.
Yeah, Lamar Woodley still not
Ryan
setting
Clark,
the edge there.
We love our guy Ryan. Ryan came in about 4 seconds late to look for a ball carrier.
There
was not
old,
there.
Old greats on that defense that got absolutely left in the dust.
First play of that game. It's on like one of those YouTube compilations of first play from scrimmage touchdowns. I'm seeing somebody else. Here's a tweet, a quote tweet on the Aiden O'Connell. Bruce Gradkowski game vibes.
Yeah, I know.
It makes me. They should heat him up. They should blitz. And that. Here's the thing, though. When I think of Mike, when they have their full complement, what do they love? We don't have to blitz. We just send Watt and Highsmith off the edge as normal. We rush our four or whatever, and we'll drop seven. I can just see him saying, well, if we blitz and they pick it up, he's going to pick us apart.
How about this story on ESPN's website today by Jeremy Fowler, who's being groomed to replace Adam Schefter, worked here and covered the Steelers for a while, where he was going back and forth with another
with
one of
Graziano.
Their insiders. Yeah. And Graziano said that it's possible Russell Wilson gets released without ever playing a game for the Steelers, that his read on the situation as a guy that covers the league is that Russell Wilson will never play a down for the Steelers unless Fields gets hurt. And really what's going on here is the Steelers plotting a Wilson exit strategy.
I saw
not
that.
Preparing Wilson to play, preparing him to go somewhere else. And Fowler's reaction was that this is reaching a boiling point. He's not sure that Wilson will remain a supportive backup. And both guys agreed with us yesterday that Fields will start against the Raiders. And Graziano also added he doesn't think that Fields is on thin ice at all.
I definitely, here, in talking to people in Pittsburgh when I was there for their game against Dallas, I definitely did not, and they italicized not to make sure you read it right, did not get the sense Justin Fields was on thin ice or that the coaching staff was looking for a reason to turn it over to Wilson. We've got a source off then. Graziano, Cabali, Dulac, really. It's a two-on-one. It's a handicap match.
Oh, it's one
match.
Of these local versus national things.
It's a handicap match, Donnie. Choose your fighter. Can you imagine Cabali and Dulac working together in the ring? I can't.
He definitely has that machismo.
Machismo.
Wait, what did he say?
Machismo.
He definitely has that machismo.
Machismo.
It's machismo.
He's a wrestling guy now. He's got to know that.
Yeah, you know, that machismo. He's got that machismo.
Machismo.
I've never heard somebody pronounce it like that in my entire life.
Machismo sounds like a Japanese gaming system. Yeah.
You got that machismo 64. You see the graphics on that thing.
What is he talking about?
He definitely has that machismo.
Coming to theaters this fall. They left him for dead, but they didn't finish the job. It's machismo.
Who is he even talking about?
I don't know. That? Yeah, what is he? Who is he describing? Do we know?
You know what this might be,
probably
actually?
Probably Rossi.
You know what this might be? This might be another one of these Cabali things where he purposely gets something wrong or says something wrong just to get us talking about it, because that's what he does.
Engagement
now.
Forming?
Yeah.
You do that sometimes.
No, I don't. No.
Donnie, come on, back me up here. There's some. He doesn't.
Pony playing dumb.
He doesn't try to get
a little grin on his face.
He's got the worst poker face ever. I would love to play cards against this guy. I'm glad you brought this Fowler Graziano thing up, just because I read that this morning. I was just scrolling through it and I was taken aback, man. Like, Graziano is saying some strong stuff there about Fields specifically, like the faith they have in him. It doesn't sound like at all that their faith was shaken in the player, unless he was having every one of these conversations before the game. Players I've talked to there had nothing but positive things to say about him, and the coaches too.
Would you rather start Russell Wilson or trade him?
Trade him.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that?
Emphatically for one reason, because I still cannot envision a world where he is so good for this team, even though I thought he'd be the better of the two players before the season.
Yeah, you were singing his praises before the season.
Mean
you
I
were
thought,
loving his
That doesn't
machismo.
Mean I thought he was going to be that doesn't mean I thought he was going to be like an all-pro. I just don't envision a world, especially with this lack of wide receiver talent, because he frankly had more of it in Denver last year, you can make an easy argument, and with this kind of limited of an offense, where he's so good that I want him back for a multi-year deal. So just let me see what the younger guy has for 17 games, assuming he can stay healthy.
Yeah, but then you're boxed in, Chris, and if it does go south with Justin Fields, you're going to regret having said that in the name of like a third or fourth round pick at best. Really?
Yes. If it goes south, then I at least know I've got to start over again.
Donnie, start him or trade him? Russie.
You're saying trade him for anything?
Just trade him, period.
I mean, within reason. You know what we're talking about. Like, whatever market value is for him, which is probably at best a third-round pick, more likely a fourth, something in that neighborhood.
I mean, I do have the fear that if something does happen to Fields, like, you want to have that guy in your back pocket, and I'm going to try to not get caught up on the one very nice pass, I will say, that we saw from Kyle Allen on Sunday night. I'm in the camp that if a team overpays, even by a little bit, send him.
What? So what's an overpay again?
I mean, I would say if you get offered absolutely a first, which won't happen.
Yep.
Or like a team that you think will be in like the middle of the second round or better.
So third, you're saying no, you'd rather wait and start him eventually.
I'd probably hold on there.
We're talking about like asset management here. And then if, let's say Graziano, for example, is right in his sort of quiet speculation that he's not so sure if Russ wasn't starting that he would be all that supportive of Fields. Is it better to just get him out of there then? Because I'll be honest, I think we've all heard this. Nobody that I've talked to has made it seem like Russ is sitting there studiously helping Justin Fields get ready or
no,
showing
the
ropes.
No, but I also don't think he's trying to undermine him. I don't think that they have the Roethlisberger-Rudolph relationship. To me, that's not a consideration. That's not like on my. That's not weighing on me when considering this. If the Raiders on Sunday watched Aiden O'Connell turn the ball over a million times and have a Nathan Peterman game against the Steelers and they lose, and they start quietly talking to Russell Wilson's camp about getting him out of Pittsburgh, I think Wilson would jump at that. I think he'd want that.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to go to Vegas before the season started. We heard that. But he just ultimately there wasn't a fit there, but he thought it was good for his brand and for his wife and family and everything.
Yep.
But I still don't think I could pull the trigger on it, Chris. Right now.
How about like one more, two more good games from Fields? Is there a magic number of Fields performances?
You know what? There probably is. Yeah.
So it's somewhere in the ether here. If we get to the bye week, what do they have? Four more games? Three more games till the bye week, right? Vegas.
They have Vegas, the Jets, and the Giants.
And Giants.
They have three more.
Vegas and the tour of the Meadowlands here.
Although both games are here.
You know what I mean. If they go 3-0 in those three games and Fields is good, would you have reached your point then? Because at that point, you're 6-2, three-game winning streak. You've put the Dallas and Indy games,
yeah,
distant memory.
Yeah, I'll say yes to that. I'll say yeah at that point. I'd say you're right at the trade deadline. I'm comfortable enough in Fields.
You'd be 6-2 at that point with Fields as your starter.
Someone made a good offer. I think a third-round pick's a future starter. I'd do that.
And you'd be squinting and saying, wait a minute, the two losses on Fields' resume, are either of them really his fault? He got us the lead late against Dallas, and we got him behind the eight ball against Indy, and he still almost brought us back.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We've got local insiders saying Justin Fields has a very short leash on Sunday. We've got national insiders from ESPN saying it's the opposite. Fields is the man. Russell Wilson will be the backup. He got full practice reps today. And what's more likely is Russell Wilson playing for another team. That it could even get to a point where he's so unhappy here they release him to give him a chance somewhere else.
Pony, a bit of housekeeping on our initial discussion today about Devontae Adams. I think you have to add another team to the sweepstakes. Houston Texans, Nico Collins going on IR for at least four. Why wouldn't they be interested in that guy?
Yeah, just make a Pro Bowl roster of wide receivers.
Why wouldn't they? Okay, but they're Stroud's cheap right now.
No, I know.
Why wouldn't you? If you're serious about it, they're 4-1. Try to stake your claim.
412-928-9370. Here's Brandon on Russell Wilson. Hello, Brandon.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
We're good.
Good. Hey, I know the question is trade or start, and I'm going, I would go trade if that was an option, but on that Graziano report at the bottom of it, it says that Russell Wilson has a no-trade clause in his one-year vet minimum contract.
Yes.
Yeah, so I see what the young guy can do for the rest of the year. But
don't you think that that's not really an issue? Because if he's not playing here, he
wants to
be
gone.
Traded.
He'd accept a trade almost anywhere where there was an opportunity to play.
Yeah, but I think through Wilson and his camp, it would get so bad it would just release him.
I don't think so.
I just think that they would be able to make a trade quickly enough for him that it wouldn't even get to that point. If they got any inkling that it was really going belly up and that he was that unhappy, I think they could trade him in a day.
Who are the teams that would be interested in Russell Wilson? Raiders and Dolphins?
Dolphins, I still think, would be number one, although if Tua's going to be actually back in week 8, then maybe they're not as interested. This is going to sound funny. He would want to go there because he would just want to play, and they have decided they're going to cast their lot with their rookie. If I were the Patriots and I knew Russell Wilson was available, I'd probably try to go get him because they should be trying to protect Drake May from a horrible offensive line. Wilson can at least move around, and he'd probably be so desperate he'd want to play.
Here's Matt next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
Love listening to you.
Thank you.
Just wanted to call what I call the eye test. I'm old. I remember Bradshaw as a rookie. I remember Handratty. I remember all those guys. Like, I just don't understand why.
Do you remember
we don't,
Joe Gilliam being high in the huddle, man?
Sure. I sure do. I'm closer to 70 than 65, guys.
Well, you don't sound it. Congratulations on all your success. You don't sound it.
Well, no, but what I'm looking at is just by the eye test with the three of you guys there that I listen to you guys all the time.
Yeah.
I just want to know that you all three believe that the Justin Fields by the eye test is better for this team to win this year than giving Wilson, just based on his playoff stats, an opportunity to go out there and show he's elite.
Well, hold on a second, though. Why should we go off playoff stats?
Well, I'm just saying based on the fact he has that experience. I mean, everything I read about Justin Fields before when he left Chicago, I'm seeing happen. I'm watching it. He's fumbling balls. He's running around. He's running when there's a spy on him. He's not making those throws that I think Russell could make down the field.
And wait
I just
a minute.
Don't
you
understand.
Felt you felt this way about Fields before the Cowboys game? You still thought he was doing those things?
Well, what I saw is there's always like a nice comeback second half, that type of thing. He can run like the wind. But I've watched the Cordell Stewarts. I've watched everything. I've watched the Neil O'Donnells. I've seen it all.
Cordell got to two AFC title games as the starting quarterback. I know he didn't win them, but that wouldn't be a great argument in your favor that you can't win like that.
Well, but that's my point, that Russell has experience in the playoffs, I think this guy potentially could be good.
Do you know when the last time is that Russell Wilson won a playoff game?
Oh, I'm sure it's many years because once he left Seattle.
Yes. Well, it was 2019, but he was a different guy physically back then. I think you have to consider the fact that this offensive line isn't always giving a ton of time to throw, and you might not be sold on Fields as a passer, but his legs absolutely matter to this offense.
I wasn't trying to be blatantly argumentative there. I feel like Fields is coming off his worst game, so people have flipped on him and given up on him. I think body of work through five games, the offense has not been good. I think he's been fine. I don't think he's been great by any means. I don't think like I've come out of these five games thinking like they absolutely have their quarterback answer, but I feel better about Fields than before the season started. I feel like he's better than a backup quarterback. I feel like he is a fringe starting quarterback and maybe better than that in the NFL.
His worst game featured him driving the team right down the field with under 5 minutes to go. And throwing, granted, it's a shovel pass, but executing properly the go-ahead touchdown pass.
Hunter's next. Hello, Hunter. Uh-oh, sounds like you're coughing. Are you okay, Hunter? You need us to come back to you, or are you good?
No, I'm totally good. Thank you. I definitely think that we should be getting rid of Wilson for anything that's a third or more. He's not the guy of the future. One. Two, yes, he has a no-trade clause, but you said he wanted to go to Vegas.
What was – I don't know what the cap situation is for the Steelers. I do know – sorry, I'm getting into my car. I was grabbing a Celsius drink. I do know that Devontae Adams wants to be traded. I believe we have a little less than $13 million in space, so we would have to make some things shake there. Who says no if we start talking with those two names, though? Adams and Wilson, and then you can do pick swaps. But who would say no to that, guys?
I don't think either team would. Honestly, I don't think that they would do it straight up. But I don't.
What would
think...
the pick swap look like if the Raiders say wanted a third for Adams? So then it becomes Adams for Wilson in a post Raiders Steelers game hilarious trade. Wilson just stays in the Raiders locker room. Apparently, just walks over there. Adams comes over to join his new team.
Maybe we get
what, like a six?
That's the number that was in my head. Yeah.
I mean, that would. What would make it, I guess, more likely that they would act like the Raiders would have, I think, have to win the game and feel like they're in it. Like maybe O'Connell doesn't play well, but they win the game and they're like, we maybe have a team that's frisky.
See,
here.
I was going to say the opposite.
If they lose,
I was going to say
desperate.
They lose and they're like, well, now yeah. We really need a quarterback. And
no, you're right.
He's
you're
only
right.
On the league minimum.
I'm going to take
rid of Devontae Adams anyways.
Yeah, I'm rescinding that comment. I was deciding if I could make a case for if they won or lost, they would want him.
Lot to get into with Mike Florio. He's brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. We waited out the 90-minute lightning delay Sunday night, stayed up until Monday morning to watch the Steelers lose on a play where a guy sprained his testicle right before he caught the game-winning touchdown pass. Some great reporting there from Cowboys media in the locker room afterwards. Mike, I know my wife, we were watching you guys before the game started, and she was concerned about Maria Taylor because she kept talking about dinner. Did you guys end up eating? Like every time you came back, she's like, we would be eating usually right now.
Yeah,
so,
you could tell there was a hangry feeling.
So is there like a big catered spread that you guys have every Sunday night once the game starts? What's the backstory there?
As far as I know, what happened on Sunday night, once we went into a weather delay, they locked the doors from the outside and no one can leave until the show was over. There was no food in the room. We had extended segments with minimal breaks. What we have is a long table with, you know, the covered dishes with the little candle underneath that keeps it hot. And I think we had Chinese this week. I was starving. I tried to get back there and get all the food before anybody else could show up after we got released. But we were there. Usually we walk out at 8:15. We walked out at 9:45. So, yeah, there were a lot of hungry, irritable people after that extended weather delay.
And several passive-aggressive comments that made their way on air.
Maria's a total pro, but any viewer could tell she was very hangry, and I think she was speaking for the rest of the crew at that point that was in front of the camera.
Oh, absolutely. And the people behind the camera, too. We were all in the same boat. We were all hungry. And you know that feeling when you're kind of beyond it and you finally get a chance to eat, it doesn't taste as good, you get full faster, like you really had yourself thinking this ability to finally end that fast is going to be far more rewarding, and it ends up being a disappointment.
Let's go through all these big ticket items here, Mike, starting with George Pickens. Mike Tomlin had one of the weirdest press conference in terms of lying about why a guy didn't get as many snaps in the game against the Cowboys, and then all the viral clips of Pickens taking plays off, the play at the very end of the game, what he had written on his face during the game. Are we going down the path of the Steelers having another wide receiver blow up that ends in him being jettisoned to another team?
Well, remember, we kind of started down that path last year, and Mike Tomlin got everything under control. That Titans Thursday night game when... who was it? Deontay Johnson finally gets his first touchdown catch in forever, and George Pickens wasn't happy. And there were some things that he had to eventually clean up after the fact, and he did. And Mike Tomlin, look, Mike Tomlin's superpower. Now, it may not be extending to George Pickens, but I've heard from coaches throughout the league over the years that they're amazed by guys who were in Pittsburgh and they go somewhere else, and they didn't realize the guy was like this or like that or would say this or would do that because Tomlin kept it all under control. With Pickens, it's hard not to wonder whether or not they're getting to the point of exasperation, but what can you do? Make Van Jefferson your number one receiver? That's the problem that the Steelers face. And remember, they were able to dump Chase Claypool for a second-round pick. They were able to run a pretty effective con on the Bears with Claypool. And where's Claypool now? I don't even think he's on a team right now.
He's not.
So could we be getting to the same point with George Pickens? This is year number three. And, boy, what a great job they do drafting and developing the basic skill set. But something happens when these guys have early success. They get a little bit ahead of themselves, and they become hard to handle. And you would think Mike Tomlin would do a better job of keeping these guys under control.
How much do you think Tomlin bears in terms of blame because maybe these guys are frustrated because the offense is so conservative? Do you think that you could put some of it back on the head coach and say his overarching influence on things doesn't help matters on the field?
Well, look, there's still a work in progress with this new offense, but look at a team like the Ravens where receivers couldn't wait to get out of town when it was a run-heavy offense under Greg Roman, and it was starting to go back that way until the Bengals decided to load up the middle of the field, and Lamar Jackson has 348 passing yards on Sunday against Cincinnati. But there was a period of time where the only way you could get receivers in Baltimore was to draft them. And at least
it's like pitchers in Colorado, Mike.
Right, and at least you know going in that hey, I'm not going to get a lot of looks. In Pittsburgh, ideally you are, but it just hasn't been working. And I mean, that's why I think that we're back to QB one time, and we're going to see Russell Wilson this weekend. Justin Fields thing hit.
Wow.
What?
You do think
Wilson's
going to start? Okay.
I think he's going to start.
Is this a Mike Florio gut feeling, or is this a Mike Florio? Because the Melissa Stark report during the game on Sunday, so many people said back to me, something must have happened in a production meeting that made her say with such authority that Russell Wilson was going to go in and have this catchphrase for the 2024 season. And so I know how you read into things, Mike. Is that the basis for what you're saying right now?
No, I think that all along, when you consider that Mike Tomlin has resisted making Justin Fields QB1, and I've been saying for a few weeks now, when you have a tough decision that's looming, the answer tends to reveal itself at the appropriate time. It took a couple of sluggish games. Not that the Colts game was bad offensively. 24 points should be enough to win any Steelers game, frankly. But the Sunday night game wasn't good enough. It was the kind of game that the Steelers last year would win. Completely outplayed, outgained by almost 2-1. And you get a blocked field goal, you get a screwy thing here, a screwy thing there. And the only stat that matters is how many points do we have and how many points do they have. And they still didn't win that. I just think it's a perfect time to bring Wilson back. The key was fully participate in practice today. I haven't seen the official report, but that
was
official expectation as of yesterday.
He did, Mike.
If he fully participates today, he's starting on Sunday. And it's a very easy thing. We're not benching Justin Fields. QB1 is healthy. And no offense to Fields. He goes back to the bench. Maybe they'll have a Fields package. I don't know. But QB1 is back. Win the seventh. Hashtag win the seventh.
Yeah, terrible catchphrase. Let's be honest. He should
They keep getting worse.
Zero effort whatsoever.
As he goes from team to team, they keep getting worse. It's going to be a whole paragraph on his pitch team.
Mike, that's like me saying, here, I've got a catchphrase. Go team. All right, let's trademark that one. It's so bad. Where do you think Davante Adams ends up, and when do you think he ends up somewhere else, if it is, in fact, somewhere other than Vegas?
Well, as of Monday, the Raiders wanted to get him done 48 hours. The problem is, you know, on one hand, they don't want to keep paying him $983,000 a week. That's his base salary. On the other hand, they want a second-round pick. They're not going to get a second-round pick. The only way they're getting a second-round pick is that they pay all of his salary except the league minimum and trade what's left. Or they do something like send Davante Adams plus a fourth-round pick to get a second-round pick back. So, yeah, we got a two, but we also had to give up a four plus the player to get there. So it all comes down to who's desperate enough to give the Raiders what they want. And I think the Jets have enough going on right now. And my belief is they're probably not going to do it, at least not in the short term. They got to settle down post-Robert Saleh. So I don't know. I think the Bills should be all over Davante Adams. And, hey, the Steelers, maybe they could do George Pickens for Davante Adams straight up.
Do you think the Raiders would do that?
I'm kidding, I think.
But do you think the Raiders would? Who says no to that trade?
Well, I think the Chase Claypool trade and all the pieces of circumstantial evidence and direct evidence we've seen over the last year would make somebody to vet this one a little bit more thoroughly than the Bears vetted the Chase Claypool thing. Because, look, that became Joey Porter Jr. That became de facto the 32nd pick in the draft because the Dolphins that season had lost theirs due to the tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton controversy.
Mike, I said to Chris earlier in the show today, if Davante Adams is unhappy in Vegas about his role, about the direction of the team, what makes any of us think he would be happy here? long term.
And that's a great point. I think we talked about this last week. Are they going to trade him anywhere that he doesn't want to be? And I don't know that we're going to have a match here of where he wants to be and where there's a place that wants him. I asked a GM last week, is this guy still an A-lister? And he said B+. So you're, and the other thing too, with each passing week, you have less and less time to get this guy up to speed. It's not easy. We said this during the preseason about Brandon Ayuk. Let's get this done. You're plugging a guy into a new city, a new coaching staff, a new locker room, a new offense, a new everything. It's not easy to do. It's not like baseball where you just give the guy a bat and say, go do your thing.
Mike Florio had some delicious Chinese food. I think we're actually ordering that tonight at the Filippone household.
Going General So's?
General So's, baby. Mike, what did you have? Lo mein?
I think there was some sort of chicken and some sort of beef. I just can't remember. I was so tired and I was so hungry. I just wolfed it down and just survived.
Who's the biggest?
And that game lasted until 1 o'clock.
Yes, it did.
Who is the biggest eater of the bunch?
You ever have your alarm go off somewhere and you have no idea where you
yes.
are
yes.
or why the alarm's going off
yes.
or what the purpose of life is?
Yes.
That's how I felt.
Mike Florio, ladies and gentlemen. He'll have the Bengals
That's
and Giants tonight. Yes. We'll see you, Mike.
See ya.
How about that on Russell Wilson? He's starting.
Okay, here's something.
That's what Mike said. Mike's putting his balls out there on this
one. I do happen to disagree just because of what we were privy to Mike Tomlin saying in this presser yesterday.
So would be Mike. I mean, Florio's doing his homework.
No,
he hears those press conferences.
What is just unusual is you tweeted that out. Nice quote from Mike. And then on my timeline, immediately above you, like tweeted out almost simultaneously, is Adam Schefter just sort of throwing it out there. For the first time since this season kicked off, Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson was a full participant at practice today. It just felt a little ominous, Pony.
So now you're
I'm just wondering
you're
if
moving
Schefter,
a little bit off of its
I'm
fields
just wondering
for sure
if
on
Schefter,
Sunday.
I'm wondering if Schefter's tweeting that just for his health or because he thinks it's a precursor
Donnie
to something
percentage
else.
Percentage chance we get Russ versus Aiden O'Connell this weekend. Look at
I'll
that
go
face.
About 25.
Percentage, yeah, okay.
25.
So 25, since we know AOC is
How about you?
I'm still going to stick to my guns and say 10 or less.
I'm up to 30.
30?
Yep.